The incoming government has today revealed the first in-depth details of its new $2 billion Kiwi Build scheme. Phil Twyford, the new Housing and Urban Development Minister, is promising 100,000 new and affordable residences will be built over the next decade, half of those in property-strapped Auckland, of course. Phil Twyford is with me. And Minister, good evening to you.
Good afternoon, Larry. Thanks for having me on.
So how will this $2 billion scheme work? Give us the nuts and bolts of it, if you will.
So I think most people understand, Larry, that the market has, the housing market has failed at the affordable end. There's no shortage of $2 million houses or, 200 square metre houses being built. It's at the affordable end where those houses are simply not being built. So Labor's Kiwi Build policy is designed to fix that by using the balance sheet of the government, and that's where this $2 billion fund comes in. It's essentially a revolving loan fund where we finance the building of homes that are then sold on at cost to first home buyers, and the money is then recycled and builds another home. We're going to do it in a number of ways. So the first is that if a developer has a project underway, let's say 400 townhouses are being built in Mount Wellington, the developer could come to us and say, look, I reckon a third of these could meet the Kiwi Build criteria. They'd be certain design specifications and price bracket. We'll then buy those off the plan, which will de-risk that development, speed it up, and ensure that there's a decent number of affordable homes, Kiwi Build homes, being built. The second way is that we're going to do an immediate stock take of all the developments that are underway or in the planning stages around Auckland that involve government land, and this includes a lot of the redevelopment of state housing land. We're going to increase the number of affordable Kiwi Build homes in those developments, and we're also going to build more state housing, and they'll be in the mix along with open market housing. And the third way, Larry, is that we're going to look at doing quite a number of large-scale urban development projects around the city, particularly around the rail network. We're going to team up with the Panuku, the Auckland Council Development Agency, the likes of Ngāti Whātua and other developers and investors who want to be part of it. We're going to very much operate on in the same way that the Hobsonville Land Company at Hobsonville, where you've got one central agency that does the coordinating. The government comes in and builds the roads, the public transport infrastructure, the schools, the parks and so on. But then the development opportunities are parceled up for private sector builders and developers to come in and build, a block of terraces, some apartments, a row of commercial buildings and so on and so forth. So it's very much about the government acting as an enabler for the private sector to come in and do what it does really well, and that's build great places for people to live and work and play.
Right. And is it your view that developments are put on hold or not happening because of the risk associated with those developments?
Yeah, one of the problems that's slowed up, particularly apartment and sort of multi-unit developments in recent months, has been access to capital. And it originated really with the Aussie banks tightening up because they've feared for the level of exposure they had to an overvalued housing market in Australia. That flowed through to their New Zealand subsidiaries, and it's had the effect of this kind of bizarre thing, really, where there's this huge unmet need for affordable homes, but the market's not responding to that demand.
Right, but
where the government comes in.
I understand, but does that mean that the government is going to take the risk on these developments?
To some extent, but two important things to remember, and one is that there's a massive unmet need out there for affordable homes, so there is demand, it's just that the private market's not responding to that demand. And the second thing is that when the government's financing the building of these homes, you've got the land asset there, so if the units don't sell, the government has the land asset. And the government can take a longer-term view of this than the private market can.
So you're going to Kiwi Build is going to buy the land, are they? And you're talking about buying off the plan apartments and building on Crown-owned land.
That's correct.
So land costs a lot of money. Land is land and it costs. How are you going to make these homes affordable or more affordable?
Yeah, so in the first instance, Larry, in Auckland, the great majority of the Kiwi-built affordable homes that are going to be built for first-home buyers are going to be medium-density homes that have a small land parcel. So that enables us to deliver the homes that are more affordable. So think about the kind of medium-density homes that you see at Hobsonville, for example. But in the medium term, we've got to deal with this question of expensive land. That is the cancer that's at the heart of the housing crisis, is incredibly expensive land. That's why we need to tackle these more deep-rooted problems, like the fact that the system we have for financing infrastructure that brings land into the supply and makes it available for new housing. We've got to reform the financing of that infrastructure, and we've got policies to do that. Okay. And we also have to free up the restrictive planning rules that currently stop the city from growing up and growing out.
Right. I'm assuming there, Minister, that National had the same kind of problem with the consents and freeing up stuff, right?
Well, I don't want to relitigate all the arguments from before, you know.
No, but you face the same challenges, is what I mean. You'll face the same things, won't you?
We do, but I think without wanting to blow our own trumpet too much, Larry, I think we've got bolder policies that are designed to free up those planning rules and fix the infrastructure financing.
Okay.
And those two things are critical to solving this in the long term if we want the market to work better.
Finally, what about the construction industry? Because I'm told by construction people I have on this program that they can't do any more. They can't build any more houses, apartments, because it's maxed out, that industry.
Yeah, it is. It's at capacity at the moment. And we're going to work very closely with the industry. We've had extensive discussions with master builders, certified builders, many of the biggest construction firms, the property developers. We know that we're going to have to develop the workforce. We know that we're going to have to invest heavily in training our own people. And we're very clear about the fact that because the workforce development hasn't been done in recent years, we are going to have to bring in skilled people from overseas in the short term. So just like the government, the former government did in Canterbury after the earthquakes. So we're going to work hand in glove with the industry to build capacity. And the important thing is that our Kiwi Build policy allows us to tender construction work at scale over multiple years that will give firms the ability to scale up and invest in factories and technology to do, for instance, off-site manufacturing. Okay. And that will enable us to build better houses at a lower cost.